Yeah, she definitely needs that this morning. Well,
where are the sheets?
Okay. Sorry, guys.
Housekeeping.
If children want to do an activity, there's some sheets at the back and you can come and sit down and colour those in. All right. I also wanted to jump in. I'm sorry, Jill.
Oh, Karen.
I haven't told you about this. I was part of Toddler Jam for many years. I just love, love, love the ministry. It is so amazing. It's so awesome. So many wonderful opportunities. If you find yourself surrounded by Christians and maybe don't have too many opportunity to meet up with people who don't know Jesus, can I encourage you to think and pray about joining the Toddler Jam team? You don't have to be able to sing. Some of the team don't even dance. You don't have to play an instrument. You should like morning tea, but there's just so many opportunities to connect with people, and it has been said so many times, it just goes on. And I wanted to encourage the team. I know I've said it before to the team, but we've seen this year the ripple effect by some of these mums who are with us 12, 13, 14, 15 years ago, sending their kids to youth group because they know that this is a safe space. So what happened 14, 15 years ago is still affecting the lives of people today. So thank you and bless you, Toddler Jam team. It's awesome.
It can't help when you're a good leader. That's what happens. It spills out. Thanks, Karen. You know, we've talked about how Toddler Jam has access to so many people in the local community. It's actually amazing. How many of you are doing amazing things? It's just incredible. You're being friends with people in the local community. But as followers of Jesus, we're actually called to be more than just friends. We're called to be disciple makers, people who live a lifestyle that helps people move towards and become followers of Jesus. We're going to look at a model that Jesus gave to his disciples after he'd been raised to life again and before he went back to heaven. This model is called Discovery Bible Reading. And Karen and I, we're going to endeavour to do this together this morning so you can see how profound it is, how simple it is, how effective it is.
Okay. It's really clear in the Bible that Jesus has called us all to go and make disciples, but let's read that from God's word. Matthew 28, verses 16 to 20. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Okay, we've read it. Jill, could you please tell us this story again without looking at any notes and using your own words?
Okay, you have to check, okay, to make sure I don't miss anything out or put something red herring-ish in. So Jesus had told his disciples to go to Galilee and to wait for him there. So they were there waiting and he came to them and they worshipped him. But some had mixed emotions about this. They actually doubted, was this really him? So some of them doubted it. But Jesus said to all of them, what was the next bit? I've got to check.
All
That's authority. Right. It's about his authority. All authority in heaven and on earth has been invested in Jesus. He's the one with authority. So because of that, go. go and make disciples of not just some people, but all people groups across the face of the earth. And, how are they to do that? Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that Jesus had commanded his followers to do. And then Jesus gives them this amazing promise at the end. I will be with you till the end of the era, to the end of time.
Did she get it right? Did she miss anything? Did she add anything?
Oh.
No, she got it. Well done. I think you might have done that a few times. Have you been practicing that story?
I was practicing that story this morning at 2 a.m. because the guys over the back fence had this raucous party and I was wide awake.
Well, it's a good point in that we need to practice and rehearse and learn the stories of the Bible, and we need to be able to tell it accurately and fluently, accurately so that we're not adding, because God's word is central to the Discovery Bible method, isn't it? So we need to be able to retell these stories. You might not know when it's appropriate, you might not know when you need to retell these stories to other people. In conversation, you will come across people and the Holy Spirit will bring it to your mind. Oh, there's a story that you could tell about that from my word.
And that's why it is so important to retell it in your own words out loud.
Yep.
I've trained quite a few people to use this now, and I find almost every time people don't want to say it out loud. They don't like the sound of their own voice. But how, I ask with humility, how can we get used to doing that? How can we get used to hearing our own voice if we won't practice it? You know, I learned piano for many years, and my hands, I haven't touched a piano for a couple of years since I've been house sitting, but I reckon if I sat at a piano, my fingers know where to go. It's muscle memory, isn't it? And the same with retelling stories. The more you tell them out loud, the more fluent you become, the more easily they will flow out of you.
Excellent. Okay, Jill. All right. Can we have the verses back up on the screen? Because I want you guys to keep us on track. So, Jill, I'm going to ask you a question from the entire passage, which, of course, we can't all fit on there, but I'm pretty sure that you might know it as well. Jill, look, referring to that passage, and you're allowed to look now.
Good.
Not at things that have happened before in the Bible, and not at things that come later, and not adding your vast amounts of Bible knowledge to this. What can you tell me that these verses show us about Jesus?
Okay, I've got a little list. Number one, Jesus told his disciples where to go to meet him, so he communicated with them. He accepted their worship of him. Love that. He acknowledged that all authority had been invested in him, had been given to him, the authority in heaven and the authority on earth. Then we see Jesus instructed his disciples to do several things, very clear steps. And I think the final thing is he promised he would be with them.
Mm.
He would not leave them as orphans. He would be with them.
Yep. Excellent. Okay. So these instructions that we are given, because that's what they are, they're instructions from Jesus that he's given to his disciples, we're his disciples, were really, really important. Go. First thing, go. Second thing, make disciples of every people group.
Yeah.
Third thing, baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And the fourth thing was to teach them to
obey.
Obey everything that Jesus had commanded. Yeah.
Great. We'll come back to that a little bit later. So, Karen, this is the next stage of the process. What do we learn about people from this story, this passage?
Just from this passage, all right. We learn that So the disciples, they followed Jesus' instructions. They met him at the mountain. They went to where he had asked them to go. When they saw Jesus, they acknowledged that he was there by worshipping him, although some of them doubted. That's important. Some of them doubted. We learned that all of them were instructed to go, not just some, but all of them, including the ones that doubted. They were all instructed.
Wow. You sure?
Yes. They were all instructed.
Okay.
Jesus said, go. They were also told to make disciples of all people, to baptize them and teach them. And they were also told that Jesus would be with them so they could be confident in Jesus' presence forever.
Wow, there's quite a bit to learn about people just from a small passage from the Bible, isn't it? It's quite profound.
Yeah, yeah.
Karen, is there something from this story that surprised you or challenged you? Is there something here that God is asking you to do?
I think the thing that I take away from this passage is that I need to just keep going. Sometimes I'm a bit fearful. Sometimes I doubt. But Jesus has said he'll always be with me and I need to obey that command to keep going. Yeah, keep going.
That's great. That stretches you, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that's really wonderful. I'm reminded through this story that Jesus wants me to be involved in disciple making. Don't give up. Don't be discouraged. Because that does happen. But keep going. Jesus is with me. He's called me to do this, to persevere.
Yeah. Mm. You know, what Jesus has said is not actually that complicated. And it's for all of us. We don't have to be masters at making disciples. We don't have to be experts at making disciples. We just need to walk closely with Jesus. We just need to live a lifestyle that is of disciple-making, consistent with making disciples every single day. We don't have to have a vast amount of knowledge about the Bible. For some of us, that's very good news. We don't have to be able to win arguments, and for some of us that's very good news again. And we really don't need to coerce people into believing what God says is true in the Bible. You know why? Because that's the work of the Holy Spirit. And I say hallelujah to that.
Amen.
That the work of the Holy Spirit does that, brings people to himself. I need to keep in step with Jesus. I need to be walking with Jesus and listening to the Spirit within me. That's my role. And I follow his lead as I connect with people. I have to connect with people. If I isolate myself, I'm not going to be sharing Jesus with other people. It takes time. It doesn't just happen. If I could click, I would. It doesn't just happen. And it's not smooth. It's not always easy. But it's about being persistent and walking in step with the Spirit. And verse 20, the most important one, is that Jesus said he'll always be with us. That's awesome.
That is so encouraging, isn't it? Mm. He will never leave us as orphans, isolated on our own. You know, thankfully, this isn't a try-hard adventure. We see a little later in the record of Jesus' life on earth that he met with the disciples and said that the Holy Spirit would be given to them to give them the power they needed to do the job that he had called them to do. That's quite profound. Mm. We can't do this on our own. No. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, as Karen said, it's not straightforward. It's not a linear thing that you get here and go step, 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 step. Oh, you're part of the kingdom of God. No, my experience is a bit more like this. Back here again and then forward. It takes time, perseverance, courage, boldness, prayer, and more than anything, time hanging out with people. People who don't yet know Jesus. That's what he's calling us to be as disciples.
Definitely. Yep. And thank goodness that we've got the Holy Spirit, because the Spirit gives us the power to keep going.
Yeah. That's true. Thanks, Jill. It's wonderful. So that's just a little glimpse of what a discovery Bible reading session might look like. Usually you'll do it in a group of people. And we always finish up with, so who could you tell this story to? And that's what we want to leave with you today. I hope I'm at the right page, am I? Yep. Good. So who could you tell this story to? Who could you practice saying it out loud to? Who in your network of relationships would really value hearing this story about Jesus? You know, I'd read this passage many times, but it was only when I started doing Discovery Bible reading, I realised that they came, they worshipped, and some doubted. And that is so freeing when you're honest and say, yeah, Lord, I'm in that group some days. Not every day, but some days I'm in that group. Will you please move me? Accept my worship and give me boldness and courage to engage with the people around me. Just like Karen said, you're not trying to wing arguments. You're not trying to persuade someone. You're not trying to coerce someone. This is the work of God's Spirit, and He will do it. And we've been seeing it happen here in the hills. So let's thank God for that. But don't forget your takeaway question. Who can you tell this story to in the coming days? Thank you.
Thanks.